Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Hey guys, welcome to the You Were Made for More podcast. This is Sammy Gallo, your host. Today I am really pumped to bring you this episode with my friend, Bishop Stephen Tai. He was recently consecrated as a bishop in the Anglican Church in North America. But besides that fact, the reason I brought him on the podcast is because he has a deep history and love for youth ministry. He loves students. He loves middle school students, high school students, and ministering to you guys. And he has a lot of wisdom to bring us on what scripture in particular says about holiness and trusting God. And I thought that was a really timely topic for this month as we are celebrating the season of Christmas and the birth of Jesus and all that means in our lives, not only this month, but every month of the year. So turn up your volume, get ready, and help me welcome my friend, Bishop Stephen.
Amen.
All right. Well, Stephen, welcome to the podcast. Thank you. Can you just kind of give the listeners like a little background on who you are, where you are located, and kind of what you do on a daily basis for work and life and all that stuff?
Okay. So I grew up in the church and weirdly never met Jesus there. And how are most people listening to this going to be Anglican? Is there a connection to Anglican?
There is a connection to Anglican, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but we have a wide variety, like non-denominational, Presbyterian, it just kind of depends.
Okay. Well, I had grown up in an Anglican church and somehow never saw Jesus in the liturgy. And when I was about 16, I had a friend outside the church who kept talking to me about Jesus. And I kept trying to ignore him. And I finally realized, and this was so interesting. I'm like listening to this guy going, somehow he's getting a lot more out of his relationship with God than I even realized was possible. And at that point I said, you know, tell me what's going on. And he led me to Jesus. And then suddenly I'm back in my Anglican church and I'm hearing Jesus talked about in the liturgy all over the place. It's like, I'd never seen it before. And now he's everywhere. I ended up becoming a youth minister. And so was a youth minister for 40 years. And just recently was asked to be a bishop in the Anglican church, which is, you know, kind of weird. Like there was nobody else to be a bishop. And they were looking around and going, oh, the youth minister isn't doing anything. Let's let him be bishop. So I live in El Paso, Texas, and I am the bishop of the Anglican Diocese of the Southwest, which includes all of New Mexico, West Texas, and Mexico down to like Puebla.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And yeah. So My Spanish is getting much better. It's oh my gosh. It is so exciting. God is doing so many cool things.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah. Okay. So that's me. Is that enough of me?
That's enough. And all of those qualifications make you the perfect candidate to talk to us about our topic today, which is
holiness and what it looks like to kind of pursue holiness and also trust God in that process. So we're going to kind of have just a conversation about this, and I'm going to ask you to start by defining what holiness is, because it's kind of this word we hear about at church or at youth group, or even when we're reading our Bibles, and we all have this idea that it pertains to being holy. But what does that actually mean as it refers to God? If you okay. can kind of dive into that.
Okay, so this is going to start, let's start backwards. It's actually easier to understand what holiness means when you're not looking at God, but you're looking at the first place in the Bible where holiness is used, which is in regard to like all the furnishings and all the equipment in the temple. And so the Israelites had, you know, this temple. Well, first they had a tent that the Ark of the Covenant was in, and then later on they had a temple. And all of the furnishing, all of the curtains, all of the brushes and the candlesticks and all this kind of stuff were set aside for the purposes of the temple. And so it's all of this stuff. And they called those things holy. And essentially holy meant two things. Holy meant that they were set aside, that there was no other use that these things could be put to. And the second thing was that they were sacred. So they were not only set aside from ordinary use, but they were important and precious and, you know, taken care of. And so when they were talking about the furnishings of the temple being holy, it meant that they could only be used for the things of the temple. And that meant that they were treated in a very special way. Like there were, you know, rules about how they could be picked up and who could pick them up. Not anybody, you know, not just anybody could pick them up, because tied in with their holiness was a set of rules that had to do with how they could be treated. Does that sort of make sense as a beginning?
Yeah, so definitely makes sense.
That's holiness applied to the things in the temple. Mm-hmm. And so then all of a sudden you're noticing that in the Bible, more and more they're using the word holy, the concept of holiness, to apply to God himself. Mm. And now, you know, this is kind of strange, because it's not really immediately obvious mm-hmm. why you should take this concept of things being set aside for the service of God and apply it to God himself. But the idea, as much as I can understand it, is that it's a way of describing God's differentness from us, that God himself is completely different from us. And not only is he completely different from us in the same way that the you know, so like a candlestick in a sacred and holy candlestick for the temple was completely different from an ordinary candlestick. And you would say one is holy and one is not because of the uses that they were put to and the way that they were treated. So when we start talking about God being holy, we're talking about his set apartness, about the fact that he is completely 100% different from us and better than us in every way. And yet there's still just this amazing, you know, thought and fact that he loves us and that somehow our interaction with him doesn't make him normal the way we're normal. Our interaction with him somehow pulls us up to his holy level. And so you look, there are a couple of places in the Bible, like Isaiah, it talks about Revelation, it talks about, and what it says is, if you could hear what's going on in the throne room of God right now, this is what you would hear. You would hear a bunch of angels around the throne of God. And it describes what the angels look like. And it says they are always, always, over and over and over again, singing and yelling out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." In Isaiah, it talks about, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Mm. And so in Isaiah, it not only says he is holy, he is set apart, he is different from us, but he is glorious in his differentness. That if you could see him, what you would be overcome by is not only his differentness, but his glory. His, like, you know, he is bright and shiny and hurts to look at, and he's just amazing. In Revelation, They have the same picture, you know, the angels around the throne of God, and they're singing out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And then it says, who was and is to come. And so in Revelation, it somehow ties the holiness of God to his eternal nature. You know, that this isn't just something that's for a moment. This is something that is absolutely forever. And to understand who God is really, really difficult because of his holiness, because of how completely different he is, which makes his love and his goodness and his affection for us, like even, I mean, even more amazing and more difficult to understand.
Yeah, that's really, just as you were talking, I was thinking of like so many situations that I've encountered and conversations I've had with people about viewing God as a father and how that idea can be so hard if you have an earthly relationship with a father that is broken. But as you were talking, I like got this picture of just how beautiful that is, the fact that God is so different from us and how much hope that gives people in those situations. That resonated with me as you were talking about that, because that is what we have hope in, is that God is different and holy, but like you said, he loves us.
Yeah, he loves
us more.
Yeah. And the other thing that's so important is that somehow in his holiness, he pulls us up to his level rather than somehow our, you know, sin and brokenness pulling him down as we interact with him. Which is just a crazy cool thing.
Yeah. So going off of that point, as a Christian and as a person who loves Jesus and is trying to follow Jesus, what is our role in that? Like, sure, God pulls us up to his level, but we see in the Bible and in the scriptures time and time again, this idea of us pursuing that holiness and living that out and not just saying we believe it. What does it look like for you to pursue holiness? What does that actively look like for someone who's a Christian?
Okay. So before we start talking about this, it's really important as we start talking about this to keep in mind God's goodness. And that somehow all of this stuff that he's asking us to do and all of this stuff that he's, you know, that is tied up with holiness is absolutely for our good.
So
let's go ahead then and take that concept of holiness and apply it to people and figure out how that matters. And so you start with the holiness of the things in the temple, you know, the candlesticks and the brushes and the buckets and all of this stuff that was totally set aside for the service and worship of God. And you start applying that to people. And so in some way, if I am called to be God's holy person, then I am called to be set aside for God's service. That I am somehow called to be different from the culture, from the people around me. And this is really important to remember the goodness of God, because it immediately sounds like the practice of holiness divides us from the very people that we not only want to be loved by, but to influence.
And there's
an extent to which that's really true. And the weird part is that is a reflection of God's goodness and his desire for our blessing. And it will actually bring blessing, even though it doesn't necessarily look like that at the very beginning. And so the idea is personal holiness for humans means we set ourselves apart for the service of God. You start asking, okay, well, what does God desire for us? And, you know, the great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the interesting thing is that just in case people don't get it, he goes on to say, this is what it means to really love God. What it really means to love God is to obey him. So you start looking at being set aside, being holy for God, really meaning first we love God and second that we obey his commands. And then you start looking at his commands. It means it affects the way we treat each other. It means that we go out of our way to care for our neighbor, and we go out of the way to care for the nations. We go out of the way to treat ourselves, you know, better than the people around us would treat us. You know, there's the whole deal about Sabbath in the Bible, you know, that talks about how God doesn't want us to work ourselves to death. He wants us to have rest, you know, that he wants us to be people that are at peace with themselves. It has to do with, you know, all the Ten Commandments, you know, the way you treat one another, don't lie to one another. Oh yeah. And don't kill each other. It has to do with the way that we treat our bodies. So, our sexuality, is all part of that. And so then we start to think about, okay, so God created us, and God created us to be set aside for him. What does it mean for me to treat his things with honor and respect, especially if one of those things happens to be me? You know, how do I treat myself the way that Jesus would treat me if he were here making decisions for me? It means not using me for purposes other than what he created me for. It means expecting me to be obedient to the things that he commands. It means me respecting the things that he made, to be able to say, okay, if he made bodies must be a really big deal to him. You know, it's not an accident that he made any part of me. I wasn't made haphazardly.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like he's eating a burger and thinks, what am I going to do? Oh, I'll make some Steven while I'm eating this burger. Right. You know, it's like this whole, you know, planned it out and knew me in my mother's womb, and nothing is an accident. And that means that every part of me and my personality and my body is precious and sacred. It's designed with care for specific things. And so, you know, now you start to get into the place where holiness starts to come up against the culture. Right. It's like my being male, my gender is not an accident.
Yeah.
He planned that and he planned that. And he not only planned it, he was overjoyed about it.
Yeah.
He was so excited about the way that I would live into being a male and what that would mean. And like the, like sexuality is a huge deal to God. And it's like, nobody ever thinks about this, but, you know, you look at all the things that sex is talked about in the Bible. You see real early that, I mean, from the very beginning of the Old Testament, that sex was created to teach us about how to worship God. And so, you know, okay, so that, you know, I don't at all want to imply that means that sex should be part of our worship of God. That's a completely different issue and story. But, you know, when God is trying to tell Israel that it should not be worshiping other gods, he accuses Israel of adultery. And so there's this way that somehow the sexual stuff that he built into us is intended as a way of helping us to understand what he expected in his relationship with us. And that means that we can't, that it is a precious thing that has to be treated as a precious thing, as a holy thing, as a set aside thing. So we get back to that holiness thing, right? That there are parts of you and parts of me that are holy, that are intended to be set aside and that have huge blessing in there. There are things, if God gave us our sexuality to teach us about worship, then we can understand things about sexuality by looking at worship. What do we know about worship? Well, the rule for worship is you only ever worship one being. You apply that to sexuality. Okay, so my sexuality is intended for one person for my whole life. That's how it's supposed to be. You know, it's not like God would ever accept casual worship of another idol.
Right.
And the same thing applies to our sexuality. And form matters, and in intention is not enough. That there are ways that we are meant to care for the holy things that he gives us, And it's not enough to desire good because the form is important. Is that making any sense at all?
Yeah, no, I'm going to kind of lead us into our next question because I think what you're hitting on is really important.
Okay. So you're okay.
I just want to kind of recap what you said about sexuality and it being designed by God, important to God. That is a very like countercultural idea.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
The culture tells you you can do whatever you want, whenever you want.
Because it's not really a big deal. Because yes. Gender is not a big deal. Sex is not that really a big deal. And oh my gosh, to God, it's a huge deal.
Yep. Yeah. And I want to kind of focus on that for a second, but from a different perspective. What if there, I'm going to have you put your bishop hat on and talk to the person who is listening to this that maybe they haven't treated sexuality like that before. They've listened to the culture and they've thought, well, I can do whatever I want with my body, whatever feels good. It's not a big deal. Maybe I believe that I should do that, but I'll repent for it later and it will be fine. And maybe they're feeling a lot of guilt and shame about making prior decisions that they've had. And they don't know how to go to God and address that. Or maybe there's a person who is listening to this who is struggling with their gender identity and really feels like they are not the gender that they were assigned at birth. These are like very hard topics that we're kind of touching on, but I know that there are people that listen to this podcast that do struggle with those things. So what would you say to them about what it looks like for God to love them in those situations and for them to trust him in those situations?
Okay. Okay. So let me try, and I may get real distracted. So you may have to pull me back. Okay. So the important thing is that God just absolutely loves the crap out of you. Mm. I mean, you just can't put it any other way. And his hope and his desire is that you can live within the bounds of the holiness that he wanted. And this is really important. And that you can live inside those bounds in a way that's going to get you into heaven. That's going to bring about eternal life for you, because God's desire is that you and he can be together forever.
Yeah.
And he really likes you that much.
Yeah.
And so then the question is, okay, so what if I am already living outside the bounds of holiness?
Mm-hmm.
And the real easy answer is stop that. Start living within the bounds of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is called repentance.
Mm-hmm.
So this church word that we use, that's repentance, basically means stop doing the things that you know that are wrong and start doing the things that are right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most of us gain the ability to understand that a lot of the silly things that we've done have really hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do tend to have a lot of guilt and a lot of shame about it. And so the second part is to understand that God knew that God knew that was going to happen. And that his plan from the first was to allow us a way to deal with the mistakes that we've made, not only by repenting, by turning away from them, but by confessing and asking forgiveness and just saying, God, I have screwed this up, and I have screwed it up in a way that I know not only has hurt you, but has hurt me and has hurt some of the people that I've done stuff with, and I want to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to go to God and say, okay, you help me to make this right, and God will answer. And sometimes that means, you know, making up for things that I've done that were not holy. Sometimes that just means living my life in a different way. But the things that are important to remember, like the stuff that I started off with, God is good and God really, really likes and wants you and is desperate to make a way for you. but he is also really serious about what it means to live in holiness. I mean, that's just a huge, huge deal to him. And that means your body is a huge deal to him, and your sexuality is a huge deal to him, and your gender is a huge deal to him. And that somehow the path of holiness is a path to greater blessing than you can find in any other way of living.
Yeah.
And that really is, that's an issue of faith, mm-hmm. that a lot of us have experimented with so much that we can basically come to you and say, I can absolutely guarantee that there is more blessing in the path of holiness, not only on earth, but in eternity, than you're ever going to find living any other way. Okay. How was that?
So good. Yeah. I love, first of all, I was going to follow up with that point. Like, the reason God desires holiness for us is because he knows, right? He knows that is where true happiness, in quotations, that's what everyone is searching for. We're all searching for something to sustain us and to make us happy. And the reason, like you started out with, God loves us so much, he knew that we would sin, that we are broken. He loves us so much, and he wants these things for us because he knows that they are what's best for us. Mm-hmm. So I just think that's so important to hit on, because a lot of the times it's really hard to see that. Like, frankly, because sometimes we can't see it, because mm-hmm. we can't see God and this idea of the holy things that he wants for us, but we can see what the media is portraying to us, what culture right. is portraying to us,
and what we're our friends like, are doing and saying. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So that's it's just a really common thing. I think, like, I struggled with it as a teenager. I struggled with it into young adulthood, and what it looked like to really like find who I was in Christ and what that mm-hmm. meant and what it looked like to actually believe that, because there were moments I said I believed it,
right,
but I actually didn't. Like, I was chasing something else. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a really important point that you hit on. And I want to go off of something that you said about repentance. I think that that's such a good idea that I want to hit on a little bit more. Because repentance is needed, like you mentioned. It's required of us to make ourselves right with God. Mm-hmm. But a lot of different faiths and denominations have different ideas of what repentance is and what it looks like. And I love the way that you worded it. You just said, God, I need you to help me make this right. I recognize that I did this, and this. I need help. Help me to make it right. It's that dependence on God that makes repentance, I think, such an important step in the process. And I want to ask you, kind of from like a youth ministry, like you said, you were in youth ministry for 40 years. You still do things in youth ministry. Now you're a bishop. What does it look like for our community to help us in our pursuit of holiness, in that repentance, in our walk with God? Like, what does community mean? Because it's really easy to like stay by yourself and keep your sin to yourself and to not tell anyone about it. Mm-hmm. But again, I don't think that's really what God wants for us. So you can share personal experience, you can share what scripture says about it, but what part do you think community plays in our holiness and our journey with God?
Okay. So, Jesus was never alone. Mm. I mean, it's like you look at the life of Jesus and he's always with his disciples, or he's with you know, his, I mean, the people that were most important to him. And you look in the New Testament and you never see a Christian alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when he sends them out by two, or he sends them out in community. Okay, wait, there is one. The only one I know of is Philip, right? Is Philip is on the road and the Ethiopian eunuch comes along. That's mm-hmm. the only place I know that it talks about one follower of Jesus being there. But basically the whole following of Jesus thing. Okay, so when we talk about holiness and the holiness of God and the holiness that people demands, that the holiness that God demands of us, mm-hmm. that translates into following Jesus.
Yeah.
So when we talk about being disciples of Jesus and following Jesus, that is the way of God's holiness. Mm. And so we've taken this big, you know, complicated concept of holiness and set asideness and seen Jesus who perfectly lived it out. He perfectly lived out what it means to be holy and human. And so the way of holiness for us is following Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what it means. How do we get to holiness? We follow Jesus. How do we figure out what's right and wrong? Good. We figure out what Jesus would do. Mm-hmm. And one of Jesus's big deals is that Christians are never alone. You know, mm-hmm. we're always in community. And there's a couple of things that are really essential about that. The first one is that we've always got peers. We've always got people just like us who are trying to figure out how to do this too. Mm-hmm. And so we can talk to each other and we can say, you know, what does this mean? How do I live this out? And we've got friends around who can say, you're really going to do that? That's really not smart. Mm-hmm. You know, I've tried that and it does not work out well. And people that we can go to and say, oh my gosh, pray for me. I don't know how this is going to work. And that whole peer Christianity thing is just crucial. The other thing that the community of Jesus followers gives us is mentors.
Yeah.
Is people that are older than we are, who care about us and will spend time with us and go, you know, what are you thinking? Well, let's look at what scripture says about that. Okay, you're thinking about doing that. Well, can I pray for you? Mm-hmm. And somebody we can call up in the middle of the night and say, I'm really having trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry to wake you up. And they go, no. Basically, my life mm-hmm. is waiting for you to wake me up so that I can pray for you and take care of you. And like everybody wants that. I mean, everybody wants somebody older who will care about them. And it's like the community of Christ just provides that.
Yeah. So, and that, like, I mean, that's where some of my primary discipleship, people who have discipled me, have absolutely. Been older than me and have loved me and have been there. Like, that is so vital.
Yeah. Yeah. And so people that are listening to this, Sammy and I, as people that have worked with young people, this is what we want for you. Mm-hmm. We want you to be a part of the community of Christ and to have people who are older than you are, like we are, who can pay attention to you and pray for you and hear what you're thinking and hear what you're trying to figure out. So the community of Christ is the place where holiness is lived out, because it's the community of Christ that is the body of Christ that is following Jesus. So you've got peers, Christian peers that are essential. You've got Christian mentors who are so valuable. And the other thing that happens in the community of Christ is that we start to have direct experience of God himself. I mean, times when we all of a sudden realize, oh my gosh, the guy is real and he likes me. He's noticed me and he's spoken to me, and I can somehow feel that the dude is real and has noticed me.
Yeah.
And those three things are just, I mean, they're just crucial. And that's what it means to be part of community. And when those three things are happening, mm-hmm. holiness is a lot easier to walk into, mm-hmm. because it's not such a struggle, because it sort of becomes the norm of the community and you have God himself coming alongside of you and helping. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love the quote you said, community of Christ is the place where holiness is lived out. Cause I think that is really true. It's where we learn what it means to do life with other people and to be with them in the brokenness, and what it means to pray for people and love people just like Jesus came to earth to do for us. So I think I just wanted to end on that, because I think it's really easy. Like, as I remember as a student, you know, I didn't know Christ in high school, but people did invite me to youth group, and I always came up with an excuse, you know, like I have too much homework, or I had softball practice, or I didn't have a ride. You know, there are so many reasons for not engaging in community, but that really, like, if you are at all interested in knowing who this Jesus guy is, or getting to know him more than you already do, like, that is the place to do it. Getting plugged in to a local church is the place to do it. Going with your family, if they also want to follow Jesus, is a really important thing to do.
Wait, can I throw in something else?
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing that's like super important is if you've got a youth group, it's like, grab one of your youth leaders and say, hey, I want you to disciple me.
Yes.
I want to meet with you regularly. Let's meet together once a week. And
they like live for that. They live for like just students wanting to talk about the Lord. Yeah. And
they'll buy you coffee. They'll buy you pizza. Yeah. Oh gosh, it's such a
racket. Take all the free things.
That's right.
Yeah. So that is a really good point. Like, again, like we were talking about that mentorship of a place where you can walk through some of the difficult things safely, and from someone who knows the Lord, is walking with him and wants to help you do that. That is
lots of times it's somebody that's made the same mistakes that you have and has struggled with the same things that you have, and, you know, actually may know the answer that you'll teach people 2 years from now.
Yeah.
You know, who doesn't want to hear that?
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, Stephen, well, I am going to ask you if you would just pray for our listeners and for anyone who is listening to this message to close us. So I'm going to ask you to pray.
Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you really are the best thing that has ever happened to us. Mm-hmm. And we are so grateful just for the way that you love us and how it's turned out that this whole like path of holiness that looked so weird and so hard at first has become just like this source of treasure and pleasure and delight and affection. And it's just, Lord, yeah, we're just so grateful. And I pray that somehow through your Holy Spirit, you would move in the lives of everyone who is hearing this. Mm-hmm. And that you, Lord God, would start to show them where the path of holiness lays and how to reach it and to see what Jesus, to see how to increase a connection to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I do pray, Lord God, for everybody who is listening to this, three things: that they would have peers that really love you and that love them the way that you do. Second, that they would have mentors and who were willing, Lord God, to sacrifice for them and to love them and to be interested in the things that they were interested in. And third, Lord God, I pray that everybody that listens to this would have direct experience of you. That you would speak and you would move and you would love in a way, Lord God, that they cannot deny. Not only that you are real, but that you really care about them and that they are really important to the eternal. Thanks for Sammy. Thanks for our friendship. And thanks for this time we've had together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.